Welcome to This Is Only a Test. This is episode 24, recorded August 19th, 2010. Hey guys, I'm Will Smith. With me today, Norman Chan. How you doing, Norm?
Hello. I've never heard our podcast before.
Really? It explains the incredibly high quality level that we consistently maintain.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's our podcast theme if you've never heard this before.
But everyone else has heard it because they've listened to the podcast.
Well, I was just telling you for your own benefit. But joining us today, we have another special guest who... I don't know why we've never had you on the podcast before, other than that I guess we're probably assholes. But Anna from behind the camera normally is sitting in front of a microphone now.
Yes, I'm behind another piece of equipment unseen by the masses.
Yes. So
this is a big change for me.
Yes. How are you doing today, Anna?
I'm good. That song was rocking. I have heard it because I have listened to the podcast before.
Awesome.
But I've never been so close to the source.
It was pretty loud, actually.
It was pretty loud.
Yeah, so we're trying something new today. We're actually playing this live, even though we're not really live. We're running a live show. We're going to be dumping all the effects and stuff into the mix as we go, rather than me sitting on the couch
at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not live, that people are listening right now.
Nobody is listening. Well,
but
we're
this
listening.
Is like a radio show where you hit all the sound effects?
I have buttons. Okay, I have things like to press.
Ooga.
So basically, what's going to happen is that I'm going to...
sound effects.
Okay. Wait, hold on. It's bumper time. It's bumper time. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a long bumper, I'm realizing now.
We're on a cybernetic journey.
Okay.
Now.
That's all
but now we're back.
That's all the effects that I have.
Oh.
I didn't do any of that because I've always wanted to have a cowbell noise. Maybe sure. One day we'll have a cowbell. So anyway, what's everybody been testing? What have you guys been testing this week?
Fire, electricity.
Well, there was no fire, but there was electricity.
There was light.
You're talking about the power strip, the dumb power strip.
Well,
the dumb, awesome, expensive.
It worked, did it not?
Yes.
It worked as advertised,
and
I maintain that we should have stuck some tweezers in it.
Well, I would have been happy to do that, but you didn't want to stick tweezers.
No,
in
no.
No comment.
Actually, let me rephrase. I didn't want you to die.
No one was going to die.
Will had this like big thing about people not dying.
No
and
one
I
was going to die.
It's good TV. It's good internet TV.
But, death is what you're saying. It's good internet TV.
Yeah.
I don't want anything we do here to be.
So this was a power strip.
Yes.
Called the wet circuits power strip that, using patented childproof technology made in Taiwan,
yes,
would work while being drenched with water. And, as I read, also submerged in water.
Yeah,
not for too long because the minerals
not for too long.
Will build up.
Yes. Water. Yeah. No, but we,
I don't know
here's
what that
the thing.
Means.
We used filtered water.
Oh, so we could have left it indefinitely.
No. Filtered water and deionized are two different things, though. Because I mean, or distilled. Because there's still going to be impurities in the filtered water.
Right.
Just traces of minerals.
So we poured water on this power strip, and it worked. Still,
I was pretty impressed.
Like the lights, like it didn't trip. I mean,
no, it was fine.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that not like at first we're pouring water onto the power strip holes that don't have anything plugged into them, but you guys were pouring the stream of water on the plugs.
On the
plugs,
actual plugs.
Plugged in.
That
to me,
in.
I don't understand how that works. That's
impressive. I mean, and supposedly, if we had tested this, you can take tweezers and plug them in not just one hole, but two holes.
But not three?
Complete the circuit.
Well, oh.
The thing that they said, it's weird. The thing that they said is unless there's a current, unless there's a draw to the plug, the plug's not live.
So it needs to pull energy.
Right.
Yes. But I would think that jamming tweezers in there would pull enough energy to, I guess maybe if you jam two prongs in and hold the ends of the wire, like you strip the end of a light lamp cord or something, and hold onto the ends, that would draw enough current. You resisting as it electrocutes you.
What would we have had to do to be able to test the tweezers? Like what kind of safety precaution
gloves?
Should we have taken? What kind of gloves? Like big,
like,
crazy?
Like lab, big rubber lab gloves.
Rubber gloves.
Not like,
and
not Playtex. Not like
then,
the ones you use.
Not ones that would melt into your
not
hands.
Not surgical
as you,
gloves.
And tweezers also, with some type of grip, plastic grip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wooden grip.
Yeah.
That's one thing I know. Wood.
And we had, you know, other power strips connected to the wall so we wouldn't blow up the building.
I do have to say, though, Anna's talking a big game now, but I noticed that you pulled out the wireless mics.
That's true.
For this.
I was like, hey, guys, I think we'll just go wireless for this one. I'll give you guys some transmit. I'll, you know.
There was a
So I was not, in fact. I also said why. I got a little scared at one point.
Yeah, I want you to have freedom, she said.
Yeah.
Meaning, I want you to not be connected to me by something that is electrical.
Exactly. Yes. I saw a current running through the cord into Will's body and through the wire connecting to my camera in my hands, and I thought that was not something I wanted to happen.
Yes, thank you for your support.
Just taking precautions. And then I was like, go further.
The best part were our neighbors.
Oh, they were nice.
The Gawkers.
Yeah, we had people on a ledge.
I don't know if they were nice. Heckling. Maybe they wanted us to die, but they were enthusiastic.
They wanted to see something.
Yes.
They just wanted to be entertained.
And I was so glad to disappoint them.
They were terribly disappointed.
Yes, I was hoping for at least some sparks or something, but really, it's a pretty anticlimactic video, which I hope you've seen by now since you're listening to this in the future. But what else has been going on? What else have you been into, Norm? Anything exciting?
I'm sitting in this new Aeron chair.
That's pretty cool.
I don't like it.
It's Andy's and it's broken.
I went from liking it to not liking it.
Yeah, I told you.
Record time.
It looks a little futuristic-y. Is that why you chose it? It's a little Star Trek-y?
This was a famous chair in the 90s for startups.
Really?
Late startups. Every startup had one of these chairs. They are $1,000 each.
Well, back in the day. Now they're $600.
Oh, man. That's
They're still in the $600 to $800. And when after the first dot-com bubble burst, then
everybody tried to sell
everyone
their chairs.
Sold their chairs for $500.
Oh, that's
and there are you'd see
hubris
photos of offices just filled with these chairs.
That's really funny. That's very symbolic.
There's a place in San Jose you can buy them used for like $500 a pop. That's where I got my desk chair.
I've definitely sat in those chairs and they are not that comfortable.
Well, they can be, but they have to be adjusted for you, and they size them like they have different ass sizes for the seat pan.
Okay, yeah,
so like this is a pretty big.
Yeah, that's like bigger than me size. Norm, you look like that. You look like that ass pan is eating you up.
Yeah, it's the mesh part is comfortable, but the plastic around it is not very comfortable, and you can't really maneuver around it. And I don't like how the armrests swivel.
Oh, I like the Kirk armrest. That's the best part of the whole thing.
That's what I was trying to say.
It's like
going to
lock you into the chair. Like it's like the original Enterprise.
You can't push against it to get up.
Can't you lock them?
No,
you can't.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Those little switches there are not locks. See them right there.
Oh wait,
see what I'm pointing at.
But wait,
look.
The thing is, that chair is you look like you're sitting in a Paul Bunyan chair.
What's a Paul Bunyan chair?
It's like a chair sized for Paul Bunyan, but not
I don't
want to
twist these knobs.
Okay, well,
I'm afraid the chair's gonna fall apart on me.
Okay, so we talked about the chair. What else we got? Let's see. I cold brewed some coffee this week.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Norm? Did you try the cold brew coffee?
Jet
you didn't
Fuel?
Try it?
No.
Were you afraid to try something that everybody in the office had put their mouth on at one point or another?
That's right.
Well, they weren't drinking out of the carafe.
Last time I tried some mystery beverage, it was celery juice.
Oh, that was bad.
That was a mistake.
Celery, not juice.
Soda.
Yeah,
that was the real fault, was that it had sugar added. That's not what you
want. No, the real fault was that somebody said, hey, here we have some celery. Let's make soda.
It would have been good if it had just been like celery, a little bit of celery, a lot of water,
carbonation.
Who likes
the taste of celery?
Dude.
I like celery.
No. I didn't say not liking celery. Celery is fine.
Yeah.
Who likes the taste?
You're saying people eat celery for texture.
Obviously.
You know what
texture
I like?
Sure,
people
crunchiness.
Put celery. There's like celery flakes that they sell in the celery salt.
Celery salt.
Have you never heard of celery salt?
I'm going to tell you
what
I do.
Up, y'all.
I eat celery.
Cooks out there flipping out right now.
Well, celery salt you put on your Bloody Mary.
I don't know. You put it on other things. Celery is definitely a seasoning. Just saying.
So I like to pull the strips of flesh, like the long,
it's a very
stringy
graphic
things.
Way to
I know, yeah. out of the celery so that you get there's no gnawing when you bite in the strip. So you peel off all the other stuff.
Gnawing is the best part.
Oh, you guys it's like gum, vegetable flavored gum.
Ants on a log.
Let's
classic.
See. So cold brew coffee with the toddy. What'd you think? It was good, right?
Yeah, it was really good. The concentrate was pretty amazing because it wasn't bitter and it wasn't, it didn't have like a kind of cruel bite to it, but it was intense.
Intensely coffee.
Intensely coffee flavor. Yeah. It tasted like what they add to drinks to make them coffee flavored.
But good.
Yeah,
but
good.
But
good.
You're saying,
well, I mean, I wouldn't want to drink a whole cup.
Put some in your milk chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, or like an iced coffee makes a great iced coffee.
And then you
coffee.
Have a mocha frappuccino.
Yes, exactly.
Let's see what else we've been doing. Droid 2 is in the house. I'm testing it right now. I've left it at home today. But it's interesting. I mean, it's still just a big, giant phone. Not that excited about the Droid 2. Captivate lag fix. We put that up on the site this week.
That's cool.
The interesting thing out of that is that a lot of users aren't reporting problems. So a lot of people are saying, what the hell's wrong with you, Will? This phone is not slow. And then a lot of people are saying, hey, yeah, thanks for doing this. This phone is slow. So I wonder if maybe there's a good firmware and a bad firmware available for that phone.
It wasn't a difference between the European version and the R version?
It seems like – because I think Lane in particular was talking about the version he has. And I think he's American. So okay. I don't think he's using the i9000 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it made a significant difference on this phone for me to the point that I'm actually using it as my real phone now.
Well, was this just a problem with the Captivate or was it all Galaxy S phones?
It's unclear. I don't see people talking about Vibrant and needing the lag fix. I do see them having problems with the GPS that all the i9000s are having, all the Galaxy S's. And that is that the GPS takes a really long time to kind of lock in the first time you use it every day. So.
Yeah, when you were shooting that video with the Captivate before the fix, I was definitely surprised by how laggy and slow and generally awful it was behaving.
Yeah, well, and we put I think the clip that we actually showed in the review.
We showed a lot of clips. That clip was okay, whatever. You were just starting it up, but we had a lot of clips of lag.
Yeah, one that was the right length for the spot that you had in the video.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we have plenty more clips of lag. If people want to see lag clips, we can post them on YouTube.
There are lag clips. In that video, people were just not focusing on them. There were many lag clips. I had at least three.
So let's see what else. My monkey shoes have been a major topic of conversation around the office this week.
Divisive.
Yes. Norm.
They're monkey-like. I kind of want black ones. I don't like the monkey color. Don't put your feet on the table.
Oh, no. It is a little scary.
Yeah. I just like to wiggle my little piggies.
That is weird. Yeah. That is really disturbing.
So
we were watching Starship Troopers yesterday, and the guys had the robot arms. And this kind of looks like what you would wear if you had robot feet.
Sure. They do look like robot feet. They look like Transformer feet.
I mean, I like the feet that I have, but given the opportunity to upgrade to robot feet, I'd do that.
Really? You'd cut off your feet and put robot feet on?
I mean, maybe.
But that's awesome the definition of an upgrade, right?
Right.
I guess. It's hard to let go of your flesh and blood. We'll all have to make that decision in about 20 years.
I mean, you think, though. I mean, if the robot feet are a lot better than the existing flesh and blood feet, would you upgrade?
That's the real question. That's why I posed it, because I think it's a difficult question. It would depend.
I mean, the thing is,
do you stop? When are you just a brain in
a jar? I think
at
the neck.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I always wondered if you have these incredibly strong robot arms, how do you support them on your normal flesh and blood frame?
That's the thing.
You try to lift up a car, your arms are just going to rip off.
It's like plastic surgery. If you get your eyes done, it's like, oh, well, now you have these weird eyes on a different face. You have a real face and you get your neck. And then before you know it, you're a robot.
Exactly.
Horrible. So, but that said, it would be cool to have robot hands and feet.
Yes. Think of how hard you could kick something. I guess that's it for partitioning. You know, we talked about partitioning a little bit on the live show last week. And then I can't remember who wrote it. I think it was Matt, maybe.
Will Greenwald
wrote a good story about partitioning on the site this week. And he came to a little bit. I mean, my conclusion has always been, yes, it's convenient to run your data and your OS and apps on a separate partition just because then it's easy to do upgrades, or if you need to wipe Windows out or whatever, it's not a big pain in the ass. But Windows fundamentally is easier to run on one partition, don't you think? Should we not be talking about
this? So you're saying the same thing. You're saying, yes, I agree that this is the way to do it, but that's also how it's meant to be done.
No, I'm saying, yeah, it's – yes. I'm saying, I am playing both sides of the argument. But I mean, I'm saying, yes, it's convenient if you upgrade a lot, but who really reinstalls Windows 10 times a
year now? You're supposed to do it every 3 months. It's a good practice.
No way, dude.
It's good practice.
Not post 7.
Total good practice.
Ah.
It's not about Windows. It's about the programs you install in Windows.
When was the last time you reinstalled Windows?
3 months ago.
When was the last time you reinstalled Windows, Anna?
I don't have Windows.
See? Anna never reinstalls Windows.
That's the problem with Mac, too. There's a lot of junk on Mac, and we actually had a story about this
Macs
a while ago.
Yeah, Macs make you upgrade every 3 weeks, practically.
Well, no, but that's just a patch.
Yeah.
You're not doing a clean start. And most people, when they buy Macs, they're very unhappy with it 2 years later because of how bogged down their Mac is.
Hmm.
And they have too many apps and too much data on their MacBook that they can't do a clean start.
So you're saying this is a kind of... an ascetic thing where you have to live minimally.
You live minimally on your primary OS. That's why my primary OS only has 150 gigs on the primary drive, and so Windows can never get bigger than 150 gigs. And it's just Photoshop, Word, browsers, Windows.
I can see. I mean, that's the way I lived for a long, long time, and then now I have so little time to kind of fuck around with the computer that I don't really want to spend that time reinstalling Windows all the time.
But it's not that hard.
Well, I mean, that's true. I guess during the Windows 7 launch cycle, when I was reinstalling Windows all the time, I got it down to like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh my God. But,
With apps.
With everything. Okay, like from a wiped machine to a machine that I would use in like 3.5, 4 hours at the outside. So, I mean, I guess it's not that bad, but I don't know. I like to just use my computer now.
As a Mac user.
Just works.
Lazy Mac user.
Yes, exactly. We want everything now.
Just working.
The solution
to things. We want to look good, yes. And we want it just to work.
As long as, no.
Otherwise, geniuses will fix it for you.
But exactly.
The solution when your Mac slows down is to buy a new one, not to fix it.
That's also true. Throw it away.
Okay, so the last thing, let's talk about water sensors for a second. This was a real good story we posted. I mean, basically, Matt Braga went down and ran down the list of all the places that water sensors are stashed in phones. I mean, do you think that's something that you can bust the phone open, put a little piece of tape over the water sensor, and then when you sink it, you're covered?
Well, you wouldn't intentionally sink it. It really depends on the phone. Some places it's in the battery, beneath the battery. On phones like the iPhone, you can't put tape over it because it is on the pin connector and also the headphone jack.
Yeah, the iPhone, they put those things in devious places.
Really? So even if you take it apart, there's no way to like proof it from the water sensor?
There is no way to proof it. It's literally, if you look at like the iPad or iPhone, the dock connector is the water sensor.
Oh, sneaky.
And also the headphone jack is the water sensor.
I wondered if you could get like a little bit of nail polish, like clear nail polish on a tiny little brush and get it inside there.
Well, the story was bigger than that. It was also companies' policies and what they also do.
Yes,
once you find out that once you do, you know, drench your phone, that is their first line of defense. They check immediately, and even if you pass that, they will go in and do other things to check if water has done damage.
Well, I mean, that's what happened when you went swimming with your phone.
Yeah, they will check for corrosion, like saltwater corrosion and stuff like that.
Yeah, have you guys, how many phones have you lost to water?
One.
I'd rather not say.
Really?
I'm at zero right now, so I'm knocking on wood.
Well, you already said.
That was a $500 mistake.
Really? What phone was it?
3GS.
Oof.
Out of contract.
Ouch.
And it was what, like 2 months old maybe? It was
1 month
old. It was
old.
Brand new.
A month old.
Norm was very sad.
I lost a little dumb phone about probably like 8 years ago to the sea. That was very sad at the time.
Yeah.
Probably cost about $15 though.
You know, I did drop a Nokia, like an 8130
exactly.
at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still tragic. You feel very powerless.
Yeah, I had to go back to my previous phone, which was a Sony Ericsson. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe I dropped the Sony Ericsson and had to go back to the Nokia. But anyway, sad to lose a phone. It's kind of a slow news week this week, but I think it's time we should do some news.
News.
And I'm gonna play the intro to the news theme right now. We only have
it
two
It sounds just
themes.
Like the other theme.
Yeah, this is, I know. The news theme is a sample from the other theme.
Oh, cool.
So,
a reprise.
I keep waiting for somebody to submit an amazing news theme that we can use, but I haven't had it yet. So.
I might be working on something.
I like the sound of that. Can it have the
It has something in it. It has a few things in it. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll make one for news specifically.
Yes.
Action news.
Yes,
I like the sound of that. Okay. On the news front this week, the big news, unfortunately, is that Facebook is taking on...
that's not the big news.
What's the big news?
Intel bought McAfee.
That's not sexy.
Neither is Facebook.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's the definition of sexy.
This is unsexy news. You can tell people you're at the club.
Yes. There's a reason this news didn't go up on our website.
Because I'm not running the website.
What is the deal with Facebook? How have they wronged you this time, Anna?
What? How are they wronging
me? Anna likes this.
I like it.
Yeah.
What? I thought you hated Facebook.
No. When did I say I hated Facebook?
You said on record that you think Facebook is on the outs.
Oh, that's true. But they're hanging on by appropriating every single other vaguely popular piece of social networking.
Okay. This is why it's a bad idea to launch the Facebook of anything else but Facebook.
Yeah, but they destroy what... Oh, what are you saying? Wait, what?
Well, you know, for a long time, everybody would always pitch new sites as, well, this is a Facebook for people who take photos.
Oh, right, exactly, because
then
Facebook will...
That's Facebook.
Right, they're just like, thank you for testing our new photo
Facebook
application.
Page. Right, exactly.
We'll be taking that now. But yeah, I liked Foursquare. I was just starting to get addicted to it. I'm a little sad that all my badges and mayorships will mean nothing now, because Foursquare will probably be complete and non-existent in 2 or 3 months. But I'm anxious to get started on places.
Well, Foursquare, the thing that Foursquare does that's neat is they give people who use it and use a place rewards.
Specials.
And that's how they make money.
Explain Foursquare.
Foursquare, oh boy. Foursquare, you go somewhere. You check
in the real world.
In the real world. This is in the real world. You go to your local cafe, you pull out your application of Foursquare.
Explain cafe.
You go to the place where you buy coffee in the outside world.
Interesting.
Not your kitchen.
Interesting.
And you pull out your iPhone, you pull up Foursquare. On Foursquare, there's a little thing that says, you're at your cafe. You check into your local cafe. And then it basically gives you a screen that shows you anybody else who's in the cafe who also checked in on Foursquare, likely just you. But if you go there enough, you can become the mayor of your cafe.
How do you become the mayor of a place?
You become the mayor of a cafe by going to a place and checking in a certain number of times within a certain time frame.
So you like you have to be the most active person within the last two or three weeks or
exactly.
something?
And only one person can be the mayor.
Only one.
Do you get to chop the head off the old mayor?
Can you be mayors of multiple places?
Yes, you can. I'm mayor of three. Some people are mayor of like 45 because they just go to places that no one with a smartphone would ever go, like a gas station on the side of town. Yeah, I bet kids are pulling that out.
That's true.
No, they're not. It's a like lame.
Does it require that you upload information about your visit?
Like, no, you don't have to. You can leave a tip. You can read other people's tips. But all you have to do is simply check in.
Sounds like Yelp.
It is like Yelp. It's like a mini quick version of Yelp that you can collect achievements on. Because you can also get badges for things like going to four places
badges?
In one night. Not no. Get Glue has that covered though.
I have seen those badges.
So you can print out or like buy.
You can get mirror badge style badges.
Wait,
for Foursquare.
What?
Yes.
What? You can?
I know where Anna's going.
Yes, you can.
Today.
Is it official? Is it a sanctioned
I don't,
thing?
I don't know if it's official, but you
does it matter
you can
if
get
they're
these
the real logo?
Yeah, it does. That's the whole point of achievements is that there are rules and regulations.
So you're saying you only want to buy a real world badge if it actually lines up with the badges you've earned.
Yeah, definitely. You guys heard of Get Glue is another one of these kind of applications that actually will send you official stickers based on your badges. And I think that's very apt.
Yeah. So, okay, so Facebook
anyway,
Places.
Anyway, sorry to bore everybody with the history of Foursquare. It's your fault, Norm.
Explain to me history.
With Foursquare, can you spoof it? Isn't it GPS-based?
It's completely honor system-based. And some people think it's really dumb and, you know, why would you create a game that everybody can cheat at? It's because it's really only as much fun as you and the 10 people you know who use it have with it.
I would take pleasure in taking the mayorship away from someone by spoofing it.
Yeah, that's
and not
that's
actually
cruel.
Going.
You're what's wrong with the system.
I'm going to be the mayor of the White House by the time this podcast is over.
You should be. I bet that's a tough one to get.
Yeah, I'd have to write some hellacious script.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so Facebook Places is Foursquare but on Facebook, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't look as cool right now. It's very bare bones.
Did
it
you
just
see that its logo.
Today.
Its logo is a four on a square.
Really?
Are you kidding?
Really?
Really?
What are you talking about?
Go to Facebook Places right now.
I'm opening my phone. This is the most exciting part of the podcast ever.
I see a little marker on a square.
Right, but do you not see on the square? What is that? The road say?
Oh, wow.
It's
traveled? That's like a cruel irony. I don't think that was intentional.
I think it was totally intentional.
Maybe by one mean, sadistic designer, but that's... insane.
How did they miss that?
Designers? Sadistic? Never.
Yeah. Designers slipping something by their bosses?
So the problem with the controversy over places with Facebook is that it's not just you that you tag for places. Your friends can tag you if you were the group.
I'm going to tag you, Norm,
because
right
it's
now.
It's just like photos. In this photo are these people.
Right.
In this place, there are these people.
So you're saying it's socially involved stalking. So socially enabled stalking.
That's already Facebook.
Well, but more so. Now it's
but
in
even
the real
more
world.
So, in the real world, yeah, that's true.
It's enabling your friends to help other people stalk you.
Yes, that's true. I think that's a lot of kind of paranoia, but I also see it. I see why people
wouldn't
like that.
Because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after
true.
You.
That's true. I don't know. I'm not too concerned about it. It doesn't look does not look so far like as much fun and silliness as Foursquare.
So
I don't see any badges.
No badges. No mayorships.
That's lame.
No achievements.
That's lame. Oh my god. Forget it. Yeah, I'm out of here.
So I've been trying another geo loc service lately. I tweeted about this morning, but I don't really have any friends that use it because nobody I know uses Android really.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Near, N-E-E-R.
Yeah, I think
you
told me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat because what it does is you set up locations that you want it to automatically notify people about.
Mm-hmm.
And you really tightly control the list of the people you want to share your information with.
Oh, yeah, because it's like super stalking.
Exactly, because it's
real-time stalking.
So automatically pushes out an update when your GPS thinks you are by a certain place that you indicated.
Right. So, for example, when I came into work this morning, it updated my status with, oh, hey, he's at work, because I got within a 2-block radius of our office.
So it checks you in. You don't check it.
Exactly. It just kind of happens automatically in the background. So the benefit is I can, you know, without having to send a text to my wife at the end of the day, I can say, oh, hey, have you left work yet? I just go to the site and it's like, oh, yeah, she's on the way home from work because she's not at the office anymore. She's not at home.
Is this also the same application that allows you to see a little dot moving down the screen as the person approaches two checkpoints? Have you seen this?
It's no, like, I haven't seen that.
Somebody, yeah, if you want to show some, it's called like, you know, are you here yet or something? I have no idea what it's called. But basically it shows you a map and like, you know how when you drive somewhere, you see your little blue GPS location. It's basically allowing somebody else to see that.
To pipe their little blue dot into your map?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I would love
that. I think Joey was.
Is it latitude? Is that what you're talking about? Latitude kind of does that.
I don't think it had a much cuter name. I don't remember what it was called. I bet you.
That's also very important.
Yeah.
In these social networking circles.
Well, because Google Latitude has done kind of the same thing for a long time, but just nobody uses it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a creepy app. It's definitely pretty.
I want to go back to names. All social networking services are named like children with poor spelling name them.
What do you mean?
They don't have E's at the end.
Near.
N-E-E-R.
Reader.
Reader.
Yeah. Flipbook.
There's a love-hate relationship with the letter E, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what would be funny is if reader was R-E-E-D-R.
Oh, you just invented something. That would crazy.
Reader. Reader.
Oh, reader, I get it.
Reader. Just the – anyway, this we're going off the tracks here. Let's continue Unsexy Newsweek with the big news that Intel has purchased McAfee. In case you weren't aware –
Is it McAfee or McAfee?
I say McAfee.
I don't know. I know there is a stadium that they sponsor.
Oh, McAfee. Yeah. Is that the new Oakland Coliseum?
Is it? Yeah, ooh, it is. Is it McAfee Stadium or is it McAfee Stadium?
I'm pretty damn sure it's
I bet it's going to be Intel McAfee. Stadium real soon.
No, wait a minute.
See? I've heard of both.
Well, now I just got confused because you guys said it too much. It's McAfee.
McAfee.
McAfee?
It's not McAfee. He's not an Irish gentleman.
How does this compare to the McDonald's coffee, the McCafe?
Oh, no. I don't know. Yeah. They're probably the same thing.
Yeah, so, okay.
it's the same company, I'm pretty sure.
Why does Intel
bought them for, McAfee. What is it, $6 billion in cash?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for antivirus.
Buy a lot of antivirus software with that. You think they just wanted, like, a cheap site license for everybody that works at Intel? But, yeah, I have a theory on this.
Okay.
My theory is that Intel wanted to buy something that they could then give away for free that makes everybody's PCs slower.
And so they'll buy faster Intel chips.
So then they'll buy faster CPUs to counteract the shitty antivirus that McAfee has always made.
That's a good theory.
Or they'll embed it in their chipsets.
I don't really believe that, for the record, but I think it's funny.
No, it's good. I love conspiracy theories like that.
Yeah. I mean, why did they buy this company, Norm? Does anybody know?
I don't think they're going to – I mean, McAfee is still going to run, you know, everything they've been doing. I think antivirus is on the outs because there are too many free services that are just as good.
Yeah. And the OSs are more locked down now.
And so it's more on the hardware level. There's more software in
McAfee.
There's more software now in higher level hardware. So motherboards now have software, you know. Well, controllers have software, and those are vulnerable points.
And the server side too. If you think about it, like in the old days, the main point of entrance for viruses in a machine was email. And now, you know, all your email servers are scanning. Whether you run a corporate server, you're connecting to Gmail or whatever, your email is pretty much more thoroughly scanned at the server side than you can probably do it locally.
Yeah.
So that's made a big difference. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens. What comes of this? I don't think anybody knows exactly why Intel bought McAfee or McAfee
or
McCafe. I'm going to play some music now. Oh, that was the same one. I got to hit one next time. I know. We're locked in. Okay. What else is going on? This crazy security scam story
in
Mexico. This company that has a kind of eerily sinister name, like the Umbrella Corporation, was called Global Rainwater or something like that. Yeah,
that is kind of sinister.
I mean, what's the name of the shell company?
Hold on.
What is the what keyword should one search if they were going to?
I'm looking at it right now. I'm almost there.
Minority Report.
It is Global Rainmakers Incorporated. Global Rainmaker sounds evil.
They're
it sounds
God.
Like
they think they're God.
Right, the president is a dude with a big furry cat and no hair. Yeah. So I mean, you draw the conclusions you will. What are they doing? What's the story here, guys?
I don't.
So they've have this technology that can scan retinas rather quickly.
Retinas or irises?
Irises.
Irises.
And so iris scanners have been in existence for a long time.
So the part of the eye between the pupil and the sclera.
Yes, where it's very unique per person.
Okay.
And they you see it in movies all the time where you got to use your iris to check, you know, those and True Lies and stuff, to as opposed to your handprint. It's like biometric, right?
It's in Charlie's Angels.
That is true.
And now they have it taken to the next level. So it's a scanner that can scan multiple people at once, just like in that scene in Minority Report.
When he goes to the shopping, to the Gap.
Shopping or, you know, when they're going on to the subway. Mm. And they envision using this in high crowd areas like airports.
Right.
To market to us or to for security?
For security. For security and expedite, you know.
Yeah. Like, how would that be used for security? Like, make sure everybody's
security checkpoints.
Like everyone's like registered. Okay, everybody who's here is supposed to be here.
Yep.
If somebody doesn't scan,
yeah,
send some Gmail.
Well,
after them.
Then they're saying that they're going to keep an iris database for criminals. So once you've been convicted of something, they'll be able to track your location.
Yeah.
But I mean, does this work through sunglasses?
Probably not.
Can I wear like mirror contacts? And
that's how you'll know somebody's
stickers,
a criminal. Is
paint some eyes
sunglasses.
On your eyelids and close your eyes and walk through.
Right.
Indiana Jones style.
Special
style.
Iris contact lenses.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is scary as hell. I don't like this story. I mean, I like the story. I don't like the technology. It makes me nervous, but I'm old and I like privacy. So what do I know? Do we want to talk about this more? Or are we done?
I think we're done.
They're doing a pilot project
in Mexico.
Mexico. Yes. Unsexy Newsweek continues. Oh, wait. I didn't play the fucking music. Hold on. Different song this time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is so different. Yeah.
It ends on an upbeat, this one. Okay.
No, it didn't. No, I guess it kind of
did. I
might
have put the same one in twice. Microsoft Mac games.
Oh, yeah.
OS X games update.
Yes. Windows, Snow Leopard. New update for Snow Leopard. That will that fix some driver issues so that your 4850 can actually perform like a 4850.
So how close do they get? Has anybody run benchmarks yet?
I think it's supposed to, they say it's like a 10-15% performance increase on some systems.
Oh, that's good.
Some of the like newer Mac systems, older ones won't really benefit.
It's primarily going to be for people who have NVIDIA graphics in their Macs.
Yes, and it is for StarCraft.
And also Portal and TF2.
Right, but StarCraft is why people are installing
mainly it. StarCraft. Okay, so that's out now. If you have a Mac and you play
it's
StarCraft.
It's auto-update.
Just
you know.
Get it while it's hot. Ubuntu Multitouch, are we excited about that? Can we talk about that for a minute?
I'm more excited about the name of 11.04.
Well, so they, much like Android names their releases after things that are sweeter than apples. Ubuntu has...
Oh, my God. Really?
No, it's after desserts, actually.
It's after desserts.
Well, I know,
desserts
but
are sweeter than apples.
Yeah, is that the gap?
That's what I've always thought.
No, I think it's just desserts.
My theory.
All right.
Getting crazy, Will Smith.
So both Google, or both Android and next Ubuntu have been named. I think the Android one, Gingerbread's next.
We knew that. That's old
and
news.
And the one after that is Honeycomb.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's also alphabetical.
I knew the alphabetical thing.
And then for Ubuntu 11.04, I think they would be more clever. Than
what are you saying?
I was surprised G wasn't gelato, but they did Froyo already.
Gingerbread.
Oh yeah, gingerbread's cool.
Gingerbread's not that
gonna mix
sweet,
it up
though. It's kind of a savory dessert.
That's he's right. You got to mix it up.
I guess.
So. And so for Ubuntu, it's Natty Narwhal. They do alliteration.
Natty Narwhal.
Yes.
And they don't do alphabetical.
What's the M order?
They don't do alphabetical.
Yeah, they do.
Mm, do they?
Yeah. Everything's been alphabetical so far. Laughing links or launchy links or lumping.
This is something that we should look up online.
Did you? I'm absolutely positive of this, dude. 100%.
Well, I'm looking at the names.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a moose.
Yeah, they release every 6 months. It's not a moose. It's always something novel. Like Feisty Fawn or...
okay, fine. Mudkip.
Lucid Links.
Lucid Links, thank you.
Okay.
Nobody likes
so, yes,
Mudkip
you're
reference.
Right. They were in ABC
well,
order.
Hold on, I'm sorry. What was
wait,
that
wait,
again,
wait.
Norm? Would you say that again?
You're wrong.
Oh.
They are not in ABC order.
Yes, they are.
Okay, then why is 4.10 Warty Warthog, 5.04 was Hoary Hedgehog, and then Breezy Badger, then Dapper Drake.
They have them listed in the wrong order because they're listing by year, not month.
Nope, they're listing by releases.
Hold on.
And then E, F, G, H, I, J, K. So they did. They just started. They did this. The ABC order started with 5.10. It was not always an ABC
5.10 came out in 2005, though. Because they're European. That's... They do it backwards. 0510 is October of 05.
Naming convention.
Ubuntu. I'm looking this up
this
on the
needs
internet.
To be settled.
With the exception of the first two releases, code names are in alphabetical order.
Thank you.
With the exception of the first two releases.
I'm still correct.
So the last one. So we're on Lucid Lynx right now. The next one is the Maverick Meerkat. And then the one they just announced, just the name for 11.04, will be Natty Narwhal.
What does Natty mean?
Kind of unkempt.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing for people named Natalie. Because, you know, Natty.
If they were born in like the 18th century England, then people would call them.
Also
Natty.
Rhymes with Ratty.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay, so multi-touch and
fatty
in whatever the M1 is.
It's worse and worse.
And we know the name of the N release.
The Natty N Narwhal. Release is Natty Narwhal.
What was the M release again?
Maverick Meerkat.
I like meerkats. I watched that show on. You guys watch the show on Animal Planet?
No, but I do like meerkats.
It's my favorite animal related. The thing about the meerkat show is
they live in a manor.
Meerkat manor. They shoot it like meerkat a reality manor. Show.
Oh
it's
yeah,
like Big
no,
Brother
I've heard,
for meerkats.
I've heard it's great.
It's complete anthropomorphized.
Kind of.
Is there like the bitch and the crazy guy and the Christian meerkat?
They don't have like a Texas guy and then a racist and a black guy
and then the gay meerkat.
No. But what they do is they put hundreds of cameras around this meerkat like territory. They're relatively small, and they put the cameras in the dens and the whole nine yards. And then they explain the family dynamic that happens because they're very matriarchal animals. Like the elder female runs the clan.
I like that.
And then there's an overexcited host who narrates it all.
Well, it was The Hobbit for a long time. It was Samwise Gamgee.
Sean Astin?
Sean Astin was the original narrator. Yeah.
He's great.
Right, they talked about going to Mordor and the Hobbits and taking the Hobbits to Isengard. It's a fantastic show. Highly recommend. I don't even know if it's still on. It is sad. I mean, they introduce you to these characters. Spoiler alert, by the way. they introduce you to these characters over like 2 years, and then they start dying left and right.
Oh,
so
God.
If you don't want that, if you can't take that kind of heat, then
is there baby eating?
I don't know if they show any kind of meerkat cannibalism.
The ultimate meerkat taboo.
They're not hamsters, Norm. Mm. Windows Mobile 7, 50 plus Xbox Live launch titles.
Nice. Castle Crashers?
No.
No? Oh, throw it in the garbage.
So here's something that's interesting. Windows Phone 7, Xbox Live is going to be a huge, huge part of this release, and it's going to be their big selling point. When they first announced Windows Phone 7, the thing they touted was that the phone, the console, and the PC will now be one synonymous gaming platform.
But hold on. What they really mean is the phone and the console are going to be a synonymous gaming platform, and the PC will be around.
Will be around, but you could still play the game on the PC.
That's
true. There will be a client. Like, they showed the demo where they started a game on the phone, finish it on, you know, continued it on the console, on the Xbox, and then you can finish it on games for Windows. I'm not sure the PC part is still going to be around, but the tie-in between console and phone will definitely be there, the syncing. The games aside, I think it's a fantastic idea that we need more of, because the thing I hate the most is buying a game for the iPhone, which if it's a Plus version, I still get it for the iPad, but I'm not going to ever play it on the iPad because I always have my phone with me and the save games don't transfer.
I hate buying stuff. I just don't buy stuff multiple places.
Well, even if they don't make you buy it multiple places, the fact that it doesn't sync your save.
What you're saying is that the save game syncing is the most.
That is the key. Okay. That is what's going to make this awesome.
Does the iPhone thing, you know, the Game Center thing for iPhone do that?
The Game Center for iPhone is MIA.
Well, it's supposedly coming in 4.1, right?
I don't think it does that. I think it's a buddy list.
So no save game syncing.
No save game
platform.
Sync.
That's unfortunate.
No, it's going to be like OpenFaint.
Okay, so we have a few. They haven't released specific titles, but they've given franchises in a lot of times.
There's a big list.
I mean, there's a few titles. I have a list. Do you want me to read the list?
Read the list from order of most interesting to most boring.
Uno, Castlevania, De Blob, Guitar Hero, Splinter Cell, Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Really?
And three, count them, three zombie games.
What about Crackdown?
Crackdown 2 is one of the games. Crackdown 2? Is it like a top-down kind
of isometric
style. How is Guitar Hero going to work on your phone?
It'll be like Tap Tap Revolution.
Ugh,
those games are lame.
They're horrible.
I love buying music.
It's so weird. The Tap Tap Revolution, which is completely lame, but made its name because it was one of the best releases in the original iPhone jailbreak.
They took advantage of the early rush.
Right, because it was like... They first developed their app on the jailbreak, which made it was like one of the few games that people were like, wow, games on the iPhone. This is awesome. Before there was an app store.
Right.
And then when Apple first announced the app store, they needed some games to show off. So they, you know, they legitimized Tap Tap Revolution.
Yep.
And now Disney bought out the company that does Tap Tap Revolution. And they are like the directors of Disney mobile gaming.
And it is still every bit as shitty a game as it was when it was a jailbreak.
Absolutely. But it makes so much money because they're basically selling you songs that you would buy on iTunes and just having
the Rock Band
crappy Tap Tap part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because
but Rock Band's awesome.
Well, but Rock Band's awesome because of the fake plastic instruments.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you're listening to your music and then giving you also something to numb yourself while you listen to your music.
But you can't play Tap Tap with music you download from iTunes, can you?
You cannot. It's only you got to buy the Lady Gaga sound pack, the track pack.
Oh.
So that's that will be there.
November?
No EA games.
No EA?
No EA games at all.
Interesting.
And they are conspicuously silent about it. So we will see come November. I think one of our guys has some hands-on time with Xbox Live and Windows Phone 7, so we might have something next week about hands-on.
Cool, that's awesome. Okay, so, I guess that does it for the news portion of our show this week.
It really was a crappy news
week. It is the worst news week ever. Unsexy News Week concludes now. Listening to these as we do this really reinforces the fact that we need to get more of the bumpers.
I'm on top of it.
Okay.
It's funny that you should mention that.
Thank you,
Saving it for a big surprise.
Okay. So this
four weeks from now.
This is the worldwide reveal.
Well, it's maybe a teaser of sorts.
You've made promises.
I have made promises. You'll have at least one that everybody will hate. But I want to make some good ones, too.
Once you promise, you can never go back.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's answer some questions because it was such a crappy news week. The first question is from Alex. Alex says, "What's up, guys? Love the show. I'm looking at building my own PC, and the primary reason for doing it is because I want to learn more about the internal workings of the PC.
Me too.
And I would like a PC experience without all the bloatware that comes with most PCs today. The PC I want to build is not going to be for gaming purposes. Rather, it's going to be primarily used for music, photo storing, and also storing HD movies, in addition to day-to-day internet browsing. Any tips on what parts and brands I should focus on? Thanks, Alex, from Lancaster, Pennsylvania." Alex did not include trivia, so we're not answering his question. I'm kidding. what do you guys think?
Everything that Gary built with his PC, except buy a second bigger hard drive and don't use the same video card and get something like a 5730.
Or you could even go with like a Core i3 processor and integrated graphics if you're not going to play
games. If he's doing photo and video, then
you might need
a decent processor. Gary bought a pretty low-end i7, i5.
He bought an i7-860.
He didn't get an i7-860, did he? Yeah. He got a 7-something, right?
Oh, he got an i5-760. Yeah. You're right.
That which is fine. And if you're going to do multitasking and play HD video, you'll want a decent CPU anyway.
Yeah, and the GPU will help with like video editing and stuff like that in certain cases, depending on what application.
So a 5730, I think, is what you want to get for GPU.
Get $150 ATI video card.
Yes, make sure you have plenty of memory.
Yeah, 2 to 4 gigs is the minimum, and a 7200 RPM hard drive. Adam, who has no last name but is from McHenry, Illinois, asks, "My Logitech MX518 recently stopped being able to right click. I used my friend's broken G5's warranty, and Logitech sent me a replacement G500. My question is, I've gone from using an 1800 DPI mouse to a 5700 DPI mouse. And the sensitivity is outrageous!" with exclamation points. While I refuse to surrender and lower the DPI, I'm wondering if you have any tips on ways I can get the most out of my mouse and not have the cursor fly across the screen when I do something as little as blink too hard.
I just had this problem with your mouse, Will.
I know. I didn't realize my mouse was super sensitive. I don't know why
sensitive mice are more effective.
Oh, he also...
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a difficulty curve. It's more effective, but it takes longer to
get
used to it.
I hate using slow mice.
Yeah, I mean... Hate it. What, you move your hand three times, get across the screen?
Yeah, there's an in-between you know, moving your hand a millimeter.
You should really be just moving one finger.
That's...
I just
blow on my mouse to move the cursor.
That is what it seems like.
Okay, so what do you do to set up your mouse? I turn off acceleration. I set
absolutely. Always turn off acceleration, which is a software feature in Windows.
And that the other feature is the enhanced pointer precision. That's bad in my experience because what it does is kind of it keeps you from having precise movement, especially bad for gamers. It's just annoying in Windows. The other thing that I do always is set the precision sensitivity in Windows to 1, and then I use the DPI to adjust the sensitivity on
low,
the mouse.
You want low sensitivity in your software and max sensitivity in the hardware.
Right. And if you're using games, like in especially Source Engine games, set the mouse sensitivity to 1.0 for both axes and then use the mouse to adjust sensitivity as you go. Adam also wanted to know, do we use those ridiculous weights in our gaming mice? And if so, what's a good weight?
I use the maximum weight. I like a heavy mouse.
I too use the maximum weight, but I feel like it's kind of a gimmick at this point. I mean, I like the kind of weight that you get with the heft that you get with a heavy mouse.
Honestly,
do you have a weighted mouse?
I have whatever that mouse is that you gave me, the Razer
Imperator or something.
Yeah, the Imperator. It's not weighted at all. I've never used a weighted mouse, but I like the sound of it.
The thing that's nice about it is it kind of gives you the same heft that you get with like a rechargeable wireless mouse.
So. No, I can picture it. It sounds like it would be good.
Yes,
but it's not like it's heavier than a normal mouse. Mm-hmm. It's just that you can make it lighter.
What? Yeah,
to various
degrees.
Decrease
its mass.
Yes, you take out weights from there are slots, and you can remove weights.
It's customizable.
That's kind of cool.
Like by grams at a time, and I don't know how you would know what the perfect weight is for you.
Just try a bunch of different ways.
Like,
I'm going to spend 5 hours with each gram.
Yeah. Right.
Keep record of your scores, and then when you get to the one with the best score, you'll know that that's the weight setting for you. Or just if like your wrist gets really crazy tired, no, just try some different stuff. See what feels good. There's no science here. Just do what feels good. The next question is from Sean, who says, "Hey, my name is Sean. Just wanted to say I love your show and eagerly await it each week. I have two questions for you. I don't know how I feel about that." Do you guys have any plans on doing more What's in Your Bag video features?
Hey.
As someone who always has a backpack on him, I quite enjoy finding out what some of the Whiskey Media staff are carrying around on a daily basis. You mentioned last week on episode 23 how you judge people based on email provider. I was wondering if you could get into a little more detail on some of the more popular or less well-known email providers you like and why. Also, why do you dislike the ones you don't use? Thanks, and keep up the great work. Well,
those are both great questions.
Those are crazy questions.
Those are great questions.
You're doing something horrifying to the skin on your back of your head right now.
No, I'm not. I'm doing nothing. That's how everybody's skin is. If you pinch the skin on your knuckle, you know, you get a little bit of...
My hands are tight. I'm terrified now.
No, it's awesome. Okay, anyway, those are both good questions.
Yes.
I want to know the answer to what you guys think of Hotmail accounts.
No, first of all, What's in Your Bag?
What's in Your Bag? Yes, we will be doing more What's in Your Bags. We have a special guest What's in Your Bag coming up as soon as the person in question remembers to bring in his bag.
Yes, we will do more of those. Those are super fun. I find them interesting, too. It's one of our first features.
Yeah, I mean, we did that before you were working for Tested.
What?
I think Drew did the first one.
No.
With me.
Joey did.
Right. No, dude, it was Drew.
Oh, my God.
I think
was there in spirit. I might have edited it.
You might have edited it, actually.
Yeah.
The thing, I almost think it's time I should revisit, because my bag has changed significantly since the iPad came out.
Mm. Carry more bags. Twist.
Yes. I have a bag inside a bag. Dog.
Heard you like bags.
Yes. Are we going to do that?
No.
Although I do like it. I'll spare you guys.
Okay. The judging people based on their email provider.
Yeah, let me ask.
So it's not a judge of the email provider itself, the service itself.
No, it's a judge.
It's more of a judge of the person.
So what would you think if somebody sent you an email from a Hotmail account?
Okay.
Why are you guys dancing around? Norm, what do you think?
It would tell me that this person refuses to change.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Resistant to change.
Very, very resistant to change.
What about a Yahoo account?
a Yahoo account is fine.
Yeah, they're pretty. I mean, Yahoo account they're comparable.
I think a Yahoo account is in the hierarchy of email accounts, and what I think of people who use them.
Hmm.
It goes from Gmail, then to personal, like their own domain.
You think Gmail is better than having your own domain?
I think Gmail is better than having your own.
What if you're running Gmail on your domain?
Well, you can't tell them,
right? But so, I mean, say, I'm like my
this,
personal.
This
domain.
Is from the peer right. from address.
Okay.
Right. Gmail about? Personal domain Yahoo.
About Pacbell.
Oh no! Hotmail. ISP thumbs down.
Oh, right, and then ISP and then AOL.
You think ISP is better than AOL?
ISP is definitely better than AOL.
See, I almost think AOL is better at this point because some people might have had that AOL address for a really long time.
That's the worst thing ever.
Is that one that's like clearview.net? Did I make that up? I made that up. Maybe. Clear Channel.
Clear Channel is a company. They're the concert. Like they're the people who've destroyed music.
I feel like when I used to work at a workers' rights law firm, I came across a lot of clearchannel.net. Maybe
that's because those people are oppressed at Clear Channel.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. What about at whiskeymedia.net?
Well, like corporate email, everybody has corporate email.
That's
out of the equation.
I really like it when people group people by things that they do or have. So I was just interested in that question.
The thing that I feel
I'd love to take a test that's like, which
what does this make you?
Yeah.
Which email provider are you?
Yeah, I would take that test. I really miss the late 2000s or the late 90s. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Those still go around a lot.
I never see them anymore.
I mean, the whole point of that whole conversation was that
I'm a Charizard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm
chaotic neutral.
Yeah, exactly.
The point of that whole Spike. Thing, though, are we done?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. It's my Buffy.
It's character. Okay.
Anyway,
I'm confused and scared.
Oh boy.
The whole point was that it's dumb to use the email that comes with your ISP because then you're stuck with your ISP forever.
Mm.
You don't want to do it. It's bad. That's bad.
Although it's the worst thing because you need that to know that login anyway to log into your ISP settings online.
I've never logged into my Comcast settings online. Ever. I always use the phone. It's the only – because I want to cost those bastards as much money as possible every time they need to service my
inconvenience.
Account.
Wow, that's spiteful. Inconvenience.
Yeah, I hate – anyway. The next question comes from Merry Old England. Christopher asks, hey, Will, Norm, and whoever else is joining you in your Technolicious Tested Talk room.
Thank you for including me.
I know.
this room is Technolicious.
I'm surprised I said that without flubbing it. I mean, that was a lot of tease.
There's lights all over the walls.
Yeah. And
circuits.
In September, Christopher will be going to university to study music. The university has recently converted to using Macs and Logic Studio for music sequencing and creating. It will be my first time ever using the Mac OS. So I'll not only have to learn a new OS, but a new set of music programs. He spelled programs with an E, which is unnatural. What? As I previously used Cubase in college. I'm seizing the opportunity to buy a Mac, so I have a stable device for creating music. Should I buy an iMac or MacBook Pro? And what spec? What equipment do I need to allow instruments and MIDI controllers to interface with DAWs? What is the Logic feature set like? Will I have to purchase? Wow, this is serious hardcore music questions. I've never done any music stuff. I'm not a music.
Okay, I'm gonna assume that to plug in the hardware, you need USB. So,
I would say that you should go to a music site to find out some of the more scary questions.
Let's say it this way: there is nothing that a MacBook Pro has that a Mac. All the ports of the MacBook Pro are also on the Mac on the
FireWire. Not all the MacBooks have. Well,
plus, if he's gonna be using it for real music,
you need to use FireWire for music.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You don't. But
you didn't
still,
look sure.
It's for video.
But okay. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're running those big like Logic programs and any other kind of like Final Cut Pro esque program, you're gonna want a MacBook Pro.
So big CPU, quad core CPU.
Yeah.
A lot of memory.
But yeah, exactly. He's gonna be uploading gigantic audio files and all sorts of crazy stuff. I wouldn't do that on anything but the best laptop you can get. Or does he want a laptop?
He said, should he buy an iMac or a MacBook Pro?
Oh. A MacBook Pro 15-inch.
Yeah, I mean, the MacBook Pro 15-inch is as low as I would go because the 13-inch is not – I mean, I use it for GarageBand to edit the podcast.
Yeah.
And it is slow with a simple four-track, three-track recording.
Yeah.
Also, what's the difference between college and university in the UK?
Well, the university is capitalized, and I don't normally capitalize college.
I think it just is the British way.
I just don't know about these programs with an E and two M's.
Oh my gosh.
Unnatural.
Give us a break, guys. Stop being so English all the time.
Yeah. We won, man. Okay. It's
delicious tea party.
It means something different now.
That is still my favorite joke from the site, and I think maybe one person knew what was going on there.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
In the condom video, at the bottom of the thing, I said, oh my, what a lovely tea party, when I'm at the bottom of the pool.
Which video?
The very first one we did on the site, condom and cameras. My, what a lovely tea party. But I was underwater holding up a cup of tea in a suit.
Oh, wow.
It was weird.
And I don't remember that
very,
at
very
all.
High concept.
It was very high concept. It was
a lot of effort for everyone involved.
Yes, I know.
That was another shoot I missed.
Poor Norm was in the water for a half hour trying to take pictures of me and unable to get the. Anyway, it was bad. But Martin asks, well, actually, he leads off with thanking us for a great podcast, which is nice. We appreciate that. He says, Martin's English too. He's from Liverpool, it turns out.
Mm, cool.
He says, I'm looking to upgrade my iPhone 3G to either an iPhone 4 or an Android-based phone. Can you tell me if I can still connect with my MobileMe services from Android? I'm talking about mail, calendars, contacts, and iDisk. I have an iPad, so I'm not bothered about losing the Apple App Store, but I really don't want to go back to the living hell that is manual syncing between my Mac and phone using clunky third-party sync utilities. Thanks for any advice you can give. Martin, Liverpool, UK. I don't think you can sync with MobileMe on Android. What I will say is it's relatively easy to get your contacts from your Mac onto Google Contacts and Calendar. And it's easy to sync that. And then Android just pulls that stuff straight into the phone. So that's your easy solution for no third-party sync utilities that are janky. But it's not going to be as slick as MobileMe. But this is the trap, right? This is the trap that you live in if you're tied to one specific thing. So iPhone 4, Martin.
Really? You're recommending the iPhone 4?
No. Okay. But given his criteria, that's his out. Yeah, that's
he doesn't
his
want to go back to his living hell.
Yes. Of pre-contacting sync stuff. I lost my window with my notes. Okay, here we go. I think we have time for one more question. You guys have time for one more question?
One more question.
Sure.
Better be a good one.
Should I? We have a lot of questions from people named Chris. This dude is asking about oatmeal. I'm going for that one. Oh, wait. Hold on. There's a question about Gordon. We're going to do two questions. Two more questions. The first one's about oatmeal.
Okay.
It says, hey, Will and Norm.
And Anna.
Love the podcast. Couldn't help but think of this comic. Oh, then it's a link to a comic.
That's not visual.
Over at Oatmeal when you mentioned the Hotmail versus Gmail user perception in this week's cast. He's from England, too. God, it's all English people sending email. Thanks for writing in, guys. We appreciate it. Okay, so let me go talk about – let's see what this one – well, these are really kind of urgent. That was from like 2 weeks ago, though. Maybe I'll answer this one. Okay, let's see.
Urgent is like, I'm on fire.
Yeah. What should I do?
What should I do?
A, get a fire extinguisher. B, pour oil on me. C, roll around in the dirt. D, scream while running down the street. Hey, tested men and Anna. So currently my multimedia course is covering photography and I'm looking for a good entry-level DSLR. I really like the Sony A230 from their Alpha series, but apparently that's discontinued. One of my mates had one of those and it performed well. The Sony was cheap, around $600 Australian dollars. What is this?
I knew it when he said mates. I was like, this is going to end well.
Which is also really great. It's great. In addition to the lens, it came with – he spells lens with an E2. What's all the extra E's? It had a manual focus string, which is also what I'm looking for. Do any of you awesome people know a camera that offers the same features as the A230 is around the same price? Thanks and keep up the great work. David from Brisbane, Australia, the real barbecue capital of the world, which I take offense to a lot of these statements in this email. But what do you think, Norm? You're kind of our photographer.
I like Canons. I haven't really used Sony's.
The XTI Rebel, something
like
that.
I like the T1i, or I guess the T2i now. That's $700-$800 without the kit lens, and then you don't have to go with the kit lens.
It's a camera that'll last you a really long time, and it shoots video too, right?
It does shoot video,
yeah, which is pretty cool.
Entry level DSLR will last you, 2 years, and then you'll know by then whether you want to make the jump or stay entry level.
The next question is from Cass in Benton, Illinois. America.
Yay.
Cass says, I wanted to chime in and let you guys know that Gary Whitta has been doing a fantastic job as a guest on the podcast. God, we can't let him hear this. I hope that he'll consider showing up on a regular basis. And speaking of guests, I was wondering if you guys would ever think of having Gordon Maung from Maximum PC come on the show. I think having Gordon, Will, Norman, and Gary on together could quite possibly be the best tech podcast ever. And I have a feeling that some of the Tested fans may not have had the pleasure of hearing the infamous rants from Gordon. Keep up the great work. Your tech website has become... This is not really a question, but I mean, it's kind of... I don't think we can have Gordon and Gary in the same room.
Not possible.
That seems unwise.
It's like matter and antimatter.
Right. They would... Gordon, if you don't know, one of our co-workers from Maximum PC and a notorious Apple hater.
Mm.
And even though Gary's been trying to shed his... You know, official tested Apple fanboy image.
Yeah, here's the thing. Gary is just an Apple lover. He's also a PC hater. And Gordon isn't just a PC lover. He is an Apple hater. So those things work.
You're saying Gary is not a PC hater.
No, I'm saying Gary is also a PC hater.
But he's an Apple lover first.
He just built a PC.
This other guy is a PC hater first. No, wait. An Apple hater first?
So it's okay if you get an Apple lover and a PC lover in the same room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then they can champion their platforms. But when you get a Apple hater and a PC hater in the same room, then it's war.
You know what haters are going to do?
Hate.
They're going to hate.
Haters are going to hate. Okay, so... Well, that wraps it up for the show this week. First off, if you want to reach us in some way, then post a comment on the podcast page, comment on Facebook, send us Twitter messages. There's all sorts of ways to reach us. We are eminently reachable. As always, come to Tested to find out all sorts of awesome things about stuff and things. And I guess that wraps it up for the show this week. For Norman Chan and Anna Herka Robles.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I had to think about it for a minute.
You got it.
Well, this is only a test. We'll talk to you guys next week. Put something after the music so that it's probably bad, yeah. The only bad thing about doing this way is we don't have any outtakes.
You should put outtakes on the end.
Yeah. Those. People like that.
Oh yeah, I remember somebody mentioned outtakes on like a video comment.
You do outtakes.
Well, I do outtakes on the videos, but I didn't know you guys did outtakes on the.
We're doing outtakes right now.
Ah.
These are outtakes.
Oh god.
You people and
take it out.
You want outtakes? Okay. Bye.